Hi, I'm Ben Rizzuto, wealth strategist at Janus Henderson Investors. For 90 years, we've worked to help clients achieve superior financial outcomes and fulfill our purpose of investing in a brighter future together. To learn more, go to janushenderson.com.
The Federal Reserve is looking into Goldman Sachs' consumer business. And as Google joins a wave of tech companies thinning their ranks, what comes next for big tech?
I think a lot of tech executives are asking, can we do a lot more with less? How deeply can we cut? So it's really a different environment now. And I think we're seeing that in some of the thinking of the top execs at these tech companies.
Plus, a small endangered songbird finds refuge in a big city. It's Friday, January 20th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. After a meeting of the U.S. and its allies in Germany today, Berlin remains opposed to sending tanks made in the country to Ukraine. Because the Leopard 2 model tanks are made in Germany, Berlin has to sign off on the vehicles being sent elsewhere, even from another country's existing arsenal. Poland has said it could proceed without German approval. Despite the rift among allies, U.S. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin reaffirmed the Pentagon's commitment to arming Kyiv.
This is a decisive moment for Ukraine. In a decisive decade for the world. So make no mistake, we will support Ukraine's self-defense for as long as it takes.
Countries in the alliance did approve other additional military aid to Ukraine today. That includes a $2.5 billion package from the U.S. and another worth more than $1 billion from Germany. We report exclusively that the Federal Reserve is investigating Goldman Sachs' consumer business known as Marcus. People familiar with the matter say the regulator is looking into whether the bank had appropriate safeguards in place as it ramped up lending. Last week, ahead of reporting its quarterly earnings, Goldman Sachs reported steep losses at its consumer businesses, more than $3 billion worth since 2020. In a call with analysts this week, CEO David Solomon said, quote, "We tried to do too much too quickly." General Motors and LG Energy are indefinitely shelving a plan to build a fourth battery factory in the U.S., according to people familiar with the matter. The two have a 50-50 partnership, Ultium Cells, which is operating a plant in Ohio and developing two others in Tennessee and Michigan. GM says it's still on track to hit 1 million electric vehicle sales in North America by 2025. 2022 was the weakest year for U.S. home sales since 2014. The National Association of Realtors says sales of previously owned homes, the bulk of the housing market, fell 17.8% from the prior year to a little over 5 million. And December marked an 11th straight month of declines, a record as the Federal Reserve tries to cool the economy by raising interest rates. The word inflation has come up pretty much every week on this podcast for the past year. But could the rise in prices finally be getting back to normal? A Wall Street Journal analysis of Labor Department data shows annual inflation is slowing to pre-pandemic levels. If the inflation we've seen in the past 6 months were to extend over the course of 2023, that would mean prices rising 1.9%, close to the average rate between 2010 and 2020 of 1.7%, and below the Fed's goal of 2%. And March for Life, the annual anti-abortion demonstration, took place in Washington, D.C. today ahead of a series of planned events over the weekend to mark the 50th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, the case that established a federal constitutional right to an abortion before the Supreme Court overturned it in June. Since it was eliminated, fights over access to abortion have moved to the state level. The Women's March is planning marches in dozens of states in support of reproductive rights. The main event is set to take place in Madison, Wisconsin, a state where abortion access is not currently available. Coming up, Google announces thousands of layoffs, the latest in a series of job cuts across big tech. More after the break.
You're a growing business and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Over the past few months, there's been a wave of layoffs across the tech industry. Microsoft, Amazon, Twitter, and Facebook parent Meta have been among the biggest tech companies to announce job cuts amid the economic downturn. And today, Google parent Alphabet joined their ranks. As we reported this morning, the company says it plans to cut around 12,000 jobs, or about 6% of its workforce. It's the company's biggest round of layoffs ever. So what's happening across big tech? And are there more cuts to come? Joining me now with more on this is Wall Street Journal Google reporter Miles Krupa. Hi, Miles. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Anne-Marie.
So let's start this conversation with Google. Was the company something of a holdout as we saw many other tech companies making big cuts over the past few months?
Yeah, that's right. It kind of was. Beginning as far back as May, June last year, we really started seeing tech companies responding to the economic downturn with layoffs and other cost-cutting measures. And early on, Sundar Pichai, the CEO of Google and Alphabet, said that Google would slow hiring. But even after that, Google still kept hiring pretty aggressively. Employees started pressing leadership about when layoffs would happen, and leadership was pretty coy. So in general, I think people were expecting Google to do it eventually. But, you know, Google's sort of famous for having this really warm, open, loose, collegial culture full of perks. They really sort of set the tone for how the industry approached managing their workplaces and trying to create a really attractive environment for people to work. So I think with these cuts, it'll be interesting to see how the workers react and whether that sort of collegial, happy-go-lucky environment is affected in any way. And I'm sure that's something that was on the mind of Sundar and the other Google execs as they were making these cuts.
And can you put these layoffs in context for us with the cuts we've seen from those others you've mentioned, including Microsoft, Amazon, and Meta? Where do these fit into that picture?
Yeah, just in terms of size, they sort of roughly fit in with what Meta, Amazon, and Microsoft have announced. This is 6%, 12,000 employees. So we're seeing that this isn't just small cuts or even really targeted cuts at different areas. This is really broad-based and across the company. Even some of the other bets, for those who don't know, is basically everything other than Google that is owned by the parent company, Alphabet, and that includes a lot of more far-out, sort of science-minded projects like self-driving cars or precision healthcare. You know, this is really cutting across the company. So it's clear that Sundar and other executives felt pressure to cut costs now and to do it in a way that addressed every single division.
Let's talk more broadly about this trend in tech right now. As we saw many of these companies staffing up quickly earlier on in the pandemic, this is really quite a change.
It is. You know, the pandemic really supercharged demand for a lot of online services, such as Google's search engine and the video platform YouTube. So I think Google and a lot of other tech companies felt pressure to hire, to try to meet that demand and then use that as a springboard to expand even further afield. So this is really a retrenchment from that sort of period of really rapid growth. But I think it is important to note that these cuts only go so far in reducing the headcount growth that we've seen since the end of 2019. You know, I think headcount at Google grew by more than 50% since the end of 2019. And just in the third quarter last year, they added 12,800 employees to the total headcount. So these cuts only go so far.
And what can you tell us about what might be on the horizon for the rest of this year for big tech, considering what's been happening? What does this really portend for a pretty powerful industry?
Yeah, I mean, I think with Google and the other companies that are reliant on online advertising in particular, we're still watching for signs of worsening economic picture, looking for how ad buyers are reacting to that, and whether there's another leg down in this reversal that we've seen. Other things like Apple's policy changes around tracking within apps, will probably continue to have an effect. And then, you know, I think the big question will be seeing companies like Twitter cut so deeply under Elon Musk. I think a lot of tech executives are asking, you know, can we do a lot more with less? You know, how deeply can we cut? So it's really a different environment now. And I think we're seeing that in some of the thinking of the top execs at these tech companies.
I've been speaking with Wall Street Journal Google reporter Miles Krupa. Miles, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
And finally, across Southeast Asia, songbirds can fetch thousands of dollars in the pet trade. There are even bird singing competitions where birds are trained to out-trill each other with serious money on the line. And one of the most coveted birds is the straw-headed bulbul. The bulbul song, collected here by researcher Sinyoung Chiketa, has made it a target for trappers who have poached the sandy-domed crooner to near extinction in the region. But our reporter John Emont says the endangered bird has found a refuge in an unlikely place, not in lush forests, but in the densely populated city-state of Singapore.
Singapore is just, it's a city filled with skyscrapers and factories. And there's not that much green space, certainly compared to its neighbors like Indonesia or Thailand, which have forests. Interestingly, it's in Singapore where in these small patches of green that do exist here and there, it's in these places that you actually can find the straw-headed bulbul, and you can hear their song as you wander through.
And Singaporeans are passionate about the straw-headed bulbul. Residents share their sightings on social media, and there's even a bulbul working group to help find ways of letting the birds warble in peace. That story was one of the Wall Street Journal's A-Heads. Those are the daily quirky journal features on the lighter side of news. You can find more of them at wsj.com/A-Heads. That's A-H-E-D-S. And that's what's news for this week. Our hosts are me, Anne-Marie Fertoli, and Luke Vargas. The show was produced by Pierre Bien-Aimé and Mohsen Ali, with help from Anthony Bansi, Kate Bullivant, Julie Chang, Daniela Cheslow, Zoe Thomas, and J.R. Whalen. And editorial support from Alan Haberchak, Michael Kosmides, Valana Patterson, and Chris Sinsley. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. We'll be back on Monday morning. Thanks for listening.